Hello. Today, I'm happy to introduce another one of our podcasts. In this episode, it's all about art. NFT art, to be precise. And who else could we interview on this exciting subject than the one and only PN, Patrick Nguyen-Twanda. I hope I spelled that right. He's our very own NFT guru in residence at Singular Digital. PN is also CEO of our sister company, Singular.NFT. We're a group of art collectors across Southeast Asia, Middle East, and Europe have built a wonderful NFT art collection over the past few years. Listen in to how Patrick sees this growing space and what his key takeaways are. Thanks for dialing in. I am Natalie, the new head of public relations at Singular. As you know, at Singular, we truly love to surf exponential tech waves for a better, brighter future.
Hello, Patrick. Great to have you in our podcast. How are you today?
Thank you very much for being here. I'm very good here in the Caserne de Basel. It's always nice to be here. I'm looking forward for this little talk we have here.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, since I know you in the last couple of years, you've been so excited and so passionate about NFTs. So, of course, there's always a very individual journey behind that. So, how did you get into NFT and what is that fascination for you?
I actually came in touch with crypto first. That was back in 2012 when I lived in China. I used Bitcoin at this time to circumvent the currency control. After that, I just lost the interest again because it served the course, and then unfortunately I did not hoard some Bitcoin, so they were used, they were gone. And then 2019, actually, I was interested in NFTs as an industrial case, like supply chain management and so on, but there was nothing really going on. So in one of these video conferences, someone mentioned NFT and art, that this works pretty well. And I was like, that's the moment I was hooked. It's like, it works somewhere. And that's where my journey started. And since mid of 2020, I think I started to be full time in the NFT space.
Awesome. I mean, that's when it also all kicked off. Do you still remember your first couple NFTs that you collected? Which were they?
I actually still own them. One of them is a picture. I think that was actually my really the first one. It's an Indian artist, a female artist. I forgot her name. I'm not sure anymore. I would have to look that up. It's a woman that's like, you only see her head, and she's like, you know, she's lying on a bed, but you only see the head, red hair, and really mesmerizing eyes. So that was my first on Maker's Place.
Awesome.
And I still have it.
We're going to add it into the podcast right. So for the viewers to see which one that was.
It's not one of my best ones, but it's the first. Yeah.
Yeah, and then it was a bit of a roller coaster, right? So what happened then for you?
It was just amazing how it. I got some, because I was earlier than most. I got some really nice grails that are so-called blue chips or whatever you call them nowadays. And during the big bull market, I was trying to organize more money to buy more, right? But that didn't really work out. So with, like everybody, I was happy. I was lucky with some of the buys and unlucky with others. I think it was a pretty much uncontrolled frenzy, also in my part. And we started then to plan out, we got this idea of how could we bring other people to this NFT space, and I think that's where the idea I think was born of Singular NFT. It took then a while until we actually really were able to start, but I think that was also the point where this one started. So it's a bull child.
A bull run child, yeah, awesome. Yeah, what I personally like about it, it's a real global thing. So yeah. There's people in Southeast Asia that, as the expert obviously know, they're normally more into collectibles, but we have a lot of people there that also look at art, people from the Middle East, people from Europe. I mean, how do you see the global NFT community develop? What excites you there?
NFTs are, especially in the art and the collectible field, they are an amazing enabler of everybody around the globe, right? So we have now possibility of artists that are somewhere in the world that normally don't have access to the art market, and they are in the middle of it now, right? So I think it changed a lot of people's lives. I know there are certain structures starting coming up again in the NFT space, like curators and the permissionless is not that permissionless anymore, but it's still far better than any so-called art, old art space. So it's still very open, very much open.
Mm-hmm. And by now you go with the title of a curator. I mean, what does an art curator in the NFT space do the whole day? How does your day look like?
I'm not going as a curator. Absolutely not. No. Curators. What I probably do is I try to manage a collection, but I'm far away from a curator. I think a curator. I'm not really sure what a curator or how I would define a curator, but at least he has to have a certain idea about art. He has to have certain knowledge about history of art, and I think I think good curators, they have a feeling for how art speaks together. So, and that's something I would never say I have that. So what I do is mostly I manage an art collection. I would not call myself a curator at all. No, I know many others that do that much better.
But for let's say a 20-year-old girl that lives in Sao Paulo and she wakes up one morning and says, "I want to become an art curator," couldn't you make the argument and say this whole scene is not older than a couple of years? So why do you need to study what, you know, Da Vinci and Picasso did hundreds of years ago? Why don't you just take a fresh stab and say, this is NFT, this is new?
I don't think, in this case, it's art history, not like you have to know what Da Vinci did and so on. But it's the NFT art, I know it's a very young field, but we already have people that kind of started the movement. We have different kinds of art, right? So it's already, there are certain niches you should know about. But a 20-year-old girl or boy somewhere, anywhere in the world, absolutely can start doing it. If they have the talent for it and they spend the time to look at this very, it's a very short history, but it's still a history that you should know who are the really old OGs. There is digital art before NFTs. Do they somehow play into movements we have now? Things like this. This history you should know, not Da Vinci and Monet and whatever.
But this I personally find exciting, what you call the OGs. I'm sure you say Beeple is an OG, right? Just by the sheer amount of money that his artworks go for. But he was overlooked. I mean, he started digital art, I think 2007-ish, started publishing. And we're here in Basel, you know, Basel is the place where Art Basel is happening. And I'm pretty sure between 2007 and very recently, he was never invited to showcase his work. And suddenly overnight, the whole thing looks different. The big galleries are getting into the game. So what has changed? What happened?
I guess what happened is that money flew into the space. Somehow someone got excited about it. Digital art is already old trade, right? I'm not even sure when we started with digital art. I guess 1960 and even before there was digital art. I think it was just the moment where actually the NFTs came into the picture and someone understood, like, yes, this one really helps the digital art and as a digital token that is tamper-proof, that can be traded. It made digital art easier for trades. And first it was only a small group of people that did it, and somehow someone got wind of it. Sometimes you don't know how these things start, right? And suddenly it exploded. I don't know who was the one that brought it.
That really triggered, yeah.
Yes, really triggered.
Yeah. I think it's fair to assume that the next generation, the millennials and the generation afterwards, for them, probably NFT is going to be a standard, normal part of the art world. And many of them will probably collect it because they like to showcase it wherever they can, maybe play in the metaverse with their art. So maybe this is also something for the new generation, or do you see a lot of old collectors, old art, let's say institutions get into the space?
Yeah, I guess all the old art institutions are there now, right? They already, or at least in the bull, they were there. I don't know who is left at the moment. The term NFT art, right, is already something that is actually not used anymore nowadays, right? And for the young generation, it's clear NFTs will be everywhere. And if this is art, if this is loyalty programs, if this is supply chain management, if it's ticketing, it will NFT themselves. They will just, as technology, they will disappear out of the mind, but they are an underlying technology that will be used everywhere. So digital, if someone talks about digital art, then they talk about digital art because they like it, because, like you say, they hang it in the office or they hang it in the metaverse or whatever. And it's just normal that this is an NFT. What else should it be, right? you often have this, like, if you tell someone, yeah, you know, we had phones before mobiles. And my kids look at me like, are you okay? So why would you do that? So it's completely normal for them that telephones are mobiles, the same way it will work with NFTs and art and ticketing and everything. They are just everywhere.
Awesome. So I know one of your key parts of your job is just being connected with artists around the globe, artists probably also here in Switzerland. I mean, up to you who you want to give a shout out to, but are there some that really inspire you or people that you look at their artwork in the morning and say, now it's going to be a good day?
I have to admit that I don't have a digital screen yet because actually I know it gets delivered, I think, in 3 months. I ordered it a year ago. And they had problems with their tech and so on. And now I met the product manager and he assured me that now they're up to speed. They delivered the bigger one I should get. In June I will have this one. And then, yeah, there are, I'm not really sure what I will put on there in the collection. And I think that's a nice thing. You can really, it's partially if you get up in the morning, you probably see the screen empty, and then you actually can say, okay, and that's my mood today, right? So you can actually do it the way that my mood decides what I look at today. And it might change. Probably it's a good art project idea to actually have a camera on this situation where you in the morning decide, and over time, like the 5,000 days of people, right? Over time, you see how your mood swings during a month or whatever. I don't know. That's let's see what's happened there. I'm not sure yet how I decide, if I let the art get in according to my mood, or if the art decides my mood. I'm not sure yet.
But at least when in Singular NFT, your nickname is the pirate, because yes. In all our Zooms, you always have the same NFT yes. as your profile yes. picture. So which one is that?
That's one of the Avastars.
Avastars.
Okay. Yes, that's one of the very old on-chain projects. In this case, it's really purely on-chain. So whenever the infrastructure of Ethereum is up, you can reconstruct it if you lose it. They were very early. They struggled a little bit with, like many of these older on-chain projects, they never really made it to mainstream. I'm actually a little bit surprised. There are others like Clovers and Math and very interesting projects with very interesting concepts, but they really never really made it into mainstream. Yeah, but I love my pirate, and I have a few more, but that's just the one that looks the most serious one. The one, you know, he's not playing games.
The closest to your personality.
Yes, exactly. if I'm actually, you don't know that, because I always have the pirate on when I call with you, but when I normally call on Zoom, I have a llama that is making like this, one of these, that is actually chewing a chewing gum. With, I think this one, no, the pizzas in the background, I think took away. So my personality can change too, but and that's one of the newer projects, just kind of cute, and I like to play with these things.
Awesome. Now, obviously, there's still a lot of people out there that haven't gotten into NFT. They're maybe scared about what's happening. I mean, recently, together, we did something that was quite adventurous. We took, I think, like 30 CEOs from Swiss companies, like mid-sized, large companies, into an art gallery that you have built and curated. And you led them around, not just for 5 minutes, but I think it was for 30, 40 minutes. What was your experience? How did you feel? Was this catching on? Did you feel a lot of interest, or were some of them bored or got lost or disconnected? I mean, this is probably something more and more people will try to experience. What was your lesson learned, or how did you experience that virtual guided tour through an art gallery in the meta?
Yeah, that was a very interesting experience, actually. The first or the most difficult part was actually to get everybody to navigate. Mm-hmm. So there you see how fresh the metaverse feeling actually is. We are all used to Zoom. But as soon as you're kind of getting into the metaverse, it's on one side a tech problem, obviously, that it's not intuitive enough. On the other side, it's people are not really used to yet. Even myself, I sometimes jump somewhere and I land somewhere completely else, and I don't know how I got there. So this is one thing. Then get the attention of people. Because some of them were new in the metaverse and they were so busy with them moving around. I think some of them were in this moment more interested in moving around than actually the art was, because they were generally really fascinated in moving around in the metaverse. So I was surprised on that. And then it was an interest. The reactions were interesting. That art isn't. Yeah, everybody has its own art taste, right? And some things or some pictures that really fascinated me, or probably because of like art blocks on the technology and so on. If you are not into tech or into this generative art, it's not that interesting for you. The reactions during in the metaverse were pretty good, and then afterwards it was not to everybody's taste the art, but it was really, really fun to be there. And I think afterwards I unfortunately was only there as a virtual Patrick. So I think it was fun, and people had fun also to talk about it afterwards. I think what you said.
Yeah, I mean, the feedback was extremely positive, especially because most of them came into this with the assumption NFTs are just a JPEG that costs an awful lot of money and is just useless, so why even bother? There was, as you mentioned, a lot of technical issues. I think it took us like 10 minutes to get everyone into, at least, you know, the laptop started and the app is running and everything. But I think it was for everyone a very refreshing new experience, and I feel we will see much more of that going down the road. But let's talk a bit about technology. I know you're a big Discord expert, and I would say the NFT community wouldn't be where they are, where it is today without Discord. You've done amazing big Discord projects for, you know, Puma, and you worked together for FIFA. So what is your experience with Discord? Why are you such a big fan and advocate of Discord?
I think people that build or manage these Discords, none of us is fan of Discord, because Discord is actually coming out of the gaming. I think it's partly voice during games and especially discussions afterwards. So it's actually not especially made for NFTs. And somehow Discord took this place as communication hub for Discord for NFTs. There were coming problems up they never had before. Now you suddenly have money on the line. So if someone gets cheated or scammed out of Discord, there were no securities built in, because before they were not needed. So we started to build bots and token control bots and security bots, link delete bots and whatever. So it's actually very complicated to keep users safe in Discord, unnecessarily complicated. But so far there is no competitor on the horizon. Interestingly, no, I don't know why. And that makes it a little bit difficult to handle it, but yes, it is an absolute must. And we handle a few very big ones, like the Pumas, I think. No, Pixel Vault is at the moment still one of the biggest ones. It's in the top 100. Then the Porsche one is a special one. We had there a completely different concept. Normally the concept is that you like try to hype up people on your server and then make a drop. And there we did it completely a different way around. We basically had a closed server. Nobody was in, nobody could talk. There was the scam possibilities were not there. Then there was the NFT drop, and only the ones with the NFT actually can get into their server to talk. So it's a completely different concept. Very interesting. I like it very much. I probably would, for other Web2 brands, I think that's a very good way to work, to work Discord, because it's new for the brand. And it's most of the time also new for the users or the fans of the brand. That's the first time getting to NFTs at Discord. That's very dangerous for them. So it's nice to have it closed.
But this is probably a question that a lot of people have on their mind. If I'm a company, if I'm a brand, why should I ever go NFT? Why should I go Metaverse? So what makes Porsche, Puma, FIFA, what brings them all into the Metaverse, into NFTs? What are they expecting from there? What is in there to win?
I don't think any of the Web2 brands really understood it yet. I think many of them came in because it's something new, it's something interesting. It's not the biggest amount of money they have to spend. It's interesting to get in touch with a younger generation. But the actual value for any brand that is getting into Web3 is actually you get user data you would never get in Web2. And most people forget that you actually, it's pseudo-anonymous. It's not anonymous at all. We have tools where you can get all the social medias connected to wallets, the whole wallet ecosystem around an email or a social media account, and you basically can see into someone's bank account the wallet, right? So you know what they hold, which projects they hold. You can see how much they interact with other wallets. You can see how they interact with other projects. You have a view far deeper than in the classical marketing, where we lose cookies now, where we by now lose a lot of information. And I think this is not very well known yet at the big companies, but it's coming now more and more. And then clearly you have just the marketing advantage, right? Mm-hmm. If you can target people that basically hold your competitors' NFTs and see that you get them over to your company. Yeah, so that's very interesting aspects that are not used a lot yet. Mm.
But here's a trick question. Assuming all these brands, be it, let's say, Gucci from Gucciverse, or you have Porsche, or you have, let's say, a beverage brand like Campari, let's say they all create their metaverse, they engage with customers around the world, they collect all the data. Who's going to ever analyze that data? I mean, don't we need more AI in the space? I mean, this podcast is introed by Roberta, who's a deep learning algorithm built AI persona. Isn't this more the turf for AIs? Aren't we humans soon outpowered to even analyze all that amount of data?
We already are outpowered, right? So we don't know anybody that is still doing that by Excel sheets, because. We already have algorithms in the classical marketing, and it's a perfect field for AI. Absolutely, the data is more or less structured, so an AI can do fantastic things with it. Absolutely, there will be huge use cases for that. Yeah.
Wow. And maybe I'll soon have a shopping guide, which is an AI that tells me, "Hey, Daniel, did you know?" This brand just is doing a drop. Don't you want to take a look at it? So basically, AI is analyzing the data, doing the marketing strategy, and probably then selling stuff to you. And all we have to do is swipe our wallet or our credit card.
Yes. There was even I think it was yesterday where someone said that basically it will be like teams of there will be teams of AIs that take care of certain things. And there will be hardly any human interaction. So the next question was does that mean my AI team is selling your AI team some goods, right? So yeah, it's an amazing field, this AI. I have no idea where it's going to. There are very positive outcomes or the negative ones. Nobody knows. It's what I already have running at home is actually several AI agents that talk together and optimize each other. So that's also one thing that I'm I think it's amazing that you can do that at home on a computer. It's just open source, it's GitHub, it's that beside NFTs, the whole digital space is amazingly fast developing at the moment.
And then back to our art NFT, what if in 10 years, 90% of the art NFTs are actually created by AIs? I mean, you've probably seen Midjourney, and I'm using Runway ML. They all do beautiful visual art, and you probably would upload it tomorrow on Blur or OpenSea. People will buy it, right? And actually, if the narrative is good, why not? So are the next big winners in the NFT art space maybe AIs that create collections?
There are already a lot of artists that use AI.
But they just change stuff, right? Yes. They use it to give it maybe a final touch.
Yes.
But you could just say...
Or the other way around. The artist gives it the final touches to the artwork of the... I'm not sure how the AI and creativity will come together, you know? Technically, especially in the digital field, technically the AI will be far better to use any tool than a human can ever be. But does it, will it come up with creative ways? How I don't know how it will happen at the end, but sometimes AI is normally something that is because it's algorithm and it needs data that is our historic, right? It never has future dates. It always has. It's so. When does it get the ability to be creative like a human is, that you can actually think about something completely new? And often artists have that they come up with something like that's. I don't have an answer to it. It's really difficult to say. But yes, and there is beautiful AI art. We will have to find a way to mark to make a distinction. Which one is AI art most likely, and which one is human influenced? There are coming so many new problems with AI. I'm sure we will solve them, but at the moment I don't know. I don't have a solution for it than an answer to how we want to do
it. Let's hope if it has a stamp on it, human made, yes. It gets a premium in the market. Exactly. But fingers exactly. crossed on us.
Exactly.
Maybe to conclude, let's look in the future. I mean, you will be soon at NFT New York, which is probably the biggest happening. I mean, tell us about that. And then also in June, you're organizing, actually here in the Caserne
yes,
Basel,
yes.
A little get-together, again, followed by a wild party during Art Basel. So what are these two things, New York, Basel? How are you looking forward to that?
New York is actually next week. I'm really looking forward to it. First of all, I have a slot for a presentation. And secondly, because we are in a bear market, they predict that it will be much smaller than last year. And actually, I like the fact that we get less of the hype boys, like we call them there. So I'm looking forward to find or to talk with people that actually are interested in the space and build and I will learn so much again. That's always amazing. And then in June will be an amazing event here in the Caserne. We will have a small exhibition with some local artists and probably some international ones. And then the meet and greet in the Turmbau is always great. Also this year we will not like make a private event out of it. So it is kind of funny, or it was at least last year, where people talked with others, and nobody actually knew, is the other person into NFTs, or is it an art person, or it's just someone that was just swimming in the Rhine here and coming to drink a coffee or a beer or whatever. So it was a very nice mingle, and we heard there were fantastic dialogues and people really liked it. They enjoyed
wow.
it, yes.
Swimming in the Rhine, you do that here in Basel?
Yes.
It sounds dangerous to me.
No, it's not.
So you jump into the water and
yes.
get some cool.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Nice.
It's tradition here. Nowadays, we even have lanes. I remember we didn't have lanes before.
Okay.
So, but nowadays for security, they have the lanes, yes.
Great. So thank you so much for your time.
You're
pleasure
welcome.
To be here. And
thank
all
you
the
very
best.
Much. Yes.
Talk soon.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you.